Hi, everyone. This is Lauren Petrovic, founder of Laurenti New York. Welcome to the Responsible Luxury Podcast, a podcast series where we delve into the world of luxury, exploring the latest innovative strategies for transparency and sustainability. Today, we have a very special guest joining us, Angelo Palmieri, the president of GCAL, the GEM Certification and Assurance Lab. Have you ever wondered how diamonds are graded? Imagine the journey from purchasing that diamond to holding a report detailing the renowned four C's: color, cut, quality, and clarity. I recently had the opportunity to tour the state-of-the-art facilities at GCAL, the esteemed lab responsible for grading the diamonds you buy and invest in. In a groundbreaking move in 2021, GCAL introduced 8X, a revolutionary grading standard beyond the traditional triple excellent diamond, making a significant advancement in the industry. Adding on to the triple X is optical brilliance, fire, scintillation, optical symmetry, and hearts and arrows. If you're wondering, who exactly is GCAL? Basically, GCAL is a formidable competitor to the GIA. GCAL is blazing a trail with remarkable technological innovations that are penetrating an antiquated industry that has long remained stagnant. At the forefront of diamond and gemstone grading, GCAL is setting new standards across the industry for transparency and excellence. During my visit to their New York office, I witnessed firsthand their advanced technology and grading processes, offering a glimpse into the future of the industry. Witnessing how GCAL leverages AI and its role in diamond grading was a revelation in itself. Yes, AI is making its mark in the diamond industry, a game changer. Last year in 2023, GCAL and Serene have announced a merger partnership aimed at reshaping the industry with cutting-edge traceability technology. Serene is a leading technology company specializing in AI-based color and clarity grading systems, complementing GCAL's vision by offering insightful analysis of rough diamonds and gemstone proportions.
Serene and GCAL both have the same vision of transparency and consistency and accuracy. And so the steward and who's teaching the machines is also a very important thing. We want the grades to be accurate and consistent, no better or worse than it should be on the stone. And so that's really a tenet of how the systems have been created. So it's, again, it's a combination of human gemological expertise and the consistency and accuracy of AI machines.
AI has been a big buzzword lately, but as Angelo will get into later on in the episode, Serene has actually been into this 6 years ago. So this strategic merger with Serene underscores GCAL's commitment to empowering consumers with unparalleled transparency and information access, ushering in a new era of consumer empowerment and protection. As we navigate through this transformative phase in the industry, GCAL's integration of AI promises swift, unbiased diamond grading assessments, shaping a future where consumers can make informed decisions confidently, thanks to the combination of human and AI-driven analysis. The integration of AI technology also offers consumers a unique footprint and 3D model for each diamond, revolutionizing the way we perceive, acquire, and appreciate these exquisite gemstones. Led by the visionary founder, Don Palmieri, and his wife, Pam Palmieri, GCAL represents a strong and dedicated team with cutting-edge technology that is set to redefine consumer expectations and industry standards. Since I've known GCAL, they have always been there, offering support to Laurenti across our diverse and various projects we send in the lab. Shout out to Eric, underscoring their commitment to excellence. Here at Laurenti New York, we place our trust in GCAL for our diamond certificate and assurance requirements for our clients. Their rigorous grading criteria not only align with our high standards, right, but also significantly enhances consumer trust and elevates the overall diamond purchasing journey. So, as we embark on this exciting podcast episode with Angelo Palmieri, president of GCAL, get ready to uncover this transformative impact of technology and innovation in the world of diamonds and jewelry. Stay tuned as we uncover the secrets behind diamond grading, transparency, and sustainability in the ever-evolving landscape of the jewelry industry. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Responsible Luxury Podcast, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, Angelo.
Hello, Lauren. How are you today?
Good. How's it going?
Everything is going great.
I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
It is my pleasure to be here. Looking forward to the conversation.
I am really excited because there's many new exciting projects you guys have going on and a new partnership we'll be talking about soon. And I want to hear all about your journey into the industry. So super excited to kick things off today. Before we get started, I want to shine the spotlight on you and learn about how you got into the industry. Everyone's journey into the diamond and jewelry space. This is such a good story. So I want to hear your side.
Sure. Well, I'm sure that most of the audience knows I'm Angelo Palmieri, president of GCal by Serene. I am coming up on my 19th anniversary in the business. So I joined GCal in 2005. I think you've met my father and stepmother when you've come to GCal.
Yeah.
They started this lab about 24 years ago. And even though I had family in the business, the path to being in the jewelry industry was not predetermined. In a lot of cases, a family business it's kind of predestined that you're going to join the company. And that actually wasn't our path. I was going down a different path in the hospitality business. And as things happen, Don and Pam needed some assistance with an ancillary business that they needed assistance on. And at that time, I decided that I would join the company, help with this project, and then determine if this was the business that I wanted to be in, or there wasn't really a long-term plan at that point. But I joined the business and I fell in love with the jewelry business. And so 19 years later, I'm still here, but it was definitely not, as I said, it wasn't predetermined that I was going to join this business. I had different aspirations and dreams, but now the jewelry industry is in my blood. And obviously 19 years later, I'm still kicking.
No looking back.
That's right.
I think it's incredible because people from other industries, when you're working for big companies, you're switching jobs every couple of years, but something so unique, like what you said, you've been in the business for 19 years and counting. So I think it's something to respect a lot because it's a lifelong journey really in the business, and people don't retire till the day they die, I feel like.
Well, there's so much to learn, right? Number one, we have such an interesting and diverse business that whether you're talking about jewelry, diamonds, gemstones, traceability, sustainability, all of these different topics. There's so many facets of each aspect that you're constantly learning every day. And then, of course, what we all talk about, but should cherish, is the relationships you build. Right? You're building lifelong relationships. I now have relationships with people going on 19 years that we've been doing business with. And
it's incredible.
Of course, they're clients, but they're also, they become like a part of family. You've known them for a long time. And so I think the relationships is probably what keeps people stuck to this industry, which is a great thing.
Yeah. Let alone, of course, the lifelong relationships with the people, but it's also the amazing product that connects the people to the industry, which is great.
Absolutely. In a diamond lab like we operate, there's a lot of jobs that are somewhat monotonous, where it's over and over again, you're repeating the same process, but you are handling some of the most beautiful, magical pieces. Just last week, we had, I think it was a $50 million stone for an analysis. And so how often do you get to encounter objects like that in your lifetime? And so us and the staff at GCal, we get to see some of the most incredible things almost on a daily basis. And it definitely keeps it interesting.
GCal, since its founding, there's other grading laboratories that are New York based. Can you tell us a little bit more about GCal and its purpose in the jewelry business?
I think it's a great question. You know, when Don and Pam founded GCal in 2000, there wasn't a need for just another run-of-the-mill lab. The industry had a lot of labs, but there was a need for a lab that was going to be accountable, that was going to take responsibility for their work. You know, we always say when somebody is bringing a diamond or a piece of jewelry to our lab for certification, they're trusting us. They're relying upon our expert analysis to make a monetary judgment. You know, am I going to pay X amount for this piece? Is this a good deal? Is it a fair deal? They're trusting in our expert opinion on these items. So when you think about a natural diamond, every color and clarity accounts for about a 10% jump in price. And so one color or one clarity makes a vast value difference in that piece. And so the founding principle of GCAL was not to just be another diamond grading lab. We had plenty in the industry. It was one that was going to be accountable, and it was really going to be made for the consumer. And so one of the things that separates GCAL from every other lab in the world is that we're the only lab that guarantees the four C's of every certificate we produce to the consumer. And I think that surprises a lot of people. But if you look at the fine print, or even sometimes not even the fine print, just the large print on any other grading report, it says very clearly that they take no responsibility for their work. If the diamond is found to be overgraded, undergraded, misgraded, they take no responsibility. And so that was really the founding mission of GCAL, was let's create a lab, let's guarantee our work, let's stand behind our work and show that a diamond grading lab with integrity can exist. And 24 years later, I believe that test proved to be true, that you could run an ethical diamond lab that graded by the books and be successful.
And at the time, I'm sure there were some players that had fell off in the market. There's some longstanding industry organizations and grading labs, sure. But entering in the early 2000s, there's a lot going on in the economy. So you guys have really seen the ebbs and flows of the industry, with the economy going up and down. With what's going on today, do you see any commonalities or maybe patterns that have happened maybe 10, 15 years ago?
I think that, of course, over 20 some years, you see the cyclicality of any economy, right? And so we've had the dot-com boom going into the dot-com bust, then going through the mid-2000s, actually a period of prosperity, but then with the blood diamond issue in the mid-2000s, then the Great Recession, the financial crisis of 2008, gold spiking after that, then a number of years of prosperity, followed by COVID, and then actually a huge boom in the jewelry industry post-COVID. And now we're getting into some of the normalization and challenges maybe that were overlooked over the last couple of years because of the great surge in business that the jewelry sector experienced. So I think if you're in any business long enough, you're going to see cycles, right? That's the way economies are. Of course, you have elections and change in leadership and change in policy. So there's so many externalities that you can't control. The one thing that we've seen over the 20 years of GCAL, and of course, Don and Pam, my parents, have been in this business for over 45 years, is that the one thing that has remained true is that consumers appreciate and love the beauty and the value and the emotional aspect of jewelry, right? It's much more than just the beauty. It's the symbolism of love when you give a piece of fine jewelry to a loved one. Right. And you see that as people have their grandma's ring from 60 years ago, and they want to remount it into a new style, a more modern style. But these types of items pass down generation from generation, and there's emotional attachment. And then, of course, there's the beauty attachment, right? That it's a beautiful piece of jewelry. So I think what we've seen, with the commonality through the boom and bust, is that people love jewelry and they cherish jewelry. Now, I think what we're going through now in 2024 is very different, as lab-grown diamonds have really emerged and become a valid challenger to natural diamonds in the market. And maybe we'll get into it a little bit later. Yeah. But I think we're seeing some of the impacts that lab-grown is having on the market. And really what we're seeing now is the two markets, natural and lab-grown, trying to settle in and see how they coexist, right? And I think as we talk about the future, obviously we just had a big show in Las Vegas where the whole industry comes together, and it's a week-long event, and you have a ton of conversations with people and hear their insights and what they're thinking and what they think in the short and medium term. And obviously the opinions are diverse and everybody's in a different position.
There's something to be spoken about GCAL. You guys have really been around to see it through and through. Yeah. I want to ask, from where you sit, if we were sitting down with the retail client and they were asking all these questions about, maybe they're just buying, this is their first big diamond engagement ring purchase, and they're ready to spend maybe $20,000, $30,000 on an engagement ring. What's something that you would want to educate them on when it comes to diamond grading and getting the right diamond certification from the right lab?
Well, of course I'm biased, but I also know I'm biased based on the reality of it. And right. So for me, I would want a diamond certificate that takes responsibility, right?
As right.
In your example, you have a $20,000 diamond, right? That's a pretty significant investment for the vast majority of the population. And as we talked about, every jump in color or clarity represents about a 10% swing. So as you go up a color, up a clarity, or down a color, down a clarity, can be a 10% swing in the price per carat or the price of the stone. So if you were looking at a stone that was an FVS2, but in reality it was overgraded and it was actually a GSI1, you're talking about a 20% difference potentially in that retail price that you as a consumer should be paying. So for me, I would only buy a diamond with a GCAL certificate because I know what we do in our lab and I know that every diamond that passes through here matters. And that's implicit in our guarantee. Right. And if we're wrong, we owe the consumer in retail dollars the difference between what they purchased and what it actually is if we made a mistake. With any other lab report, it's just tough luck. Oh, sorry, it's a GSA1. You overpaid, but no recourse. And I think that's the fundamental difference between GCAL and the other labs. On top of the guarantee, because the guarantee is great, right? It's our promise to the consumer that if you're buying a GCAL certified diamond, you don't have to worry about all the details. Right now, your worry is about the setting style and all these other really interesting aspects of the jewelry.
Right.
But the way we back up the guarantee is through our ISO 17025 accreditation. We've been ISO 17025 accredited since 2008. Into 2012, we upped that accreditation to becoming a forensic accredited lab. And so we remain today in 2024, the only gems and jewelry lab that's an ISO 17025 accredited forensic lab. And that we could do a whole podcast on what that means and what it forces us to do every day to become a better lab. But it is critical for us in terms of backing up that guarantee and ensuring that every certificate that comes out of this lab is accurate.
I feel like getting more consumer education, it really helps build trust in their transactions because
Absolutely.
Nowadays the industry is really built on trust and those relationships. When you're sitting down with a jeweler, designer, maybe your first retail store buying your engagement ring, knowing that what you're getting is of its true value is extremely important. So I want to switch gears and talk about the new partnership between GCAL and Serene Technology. This is a recent partnership, but it's a big leap for both of the companies. And it's a beautiful partnership between the two because I know you guys have introducing new technology into the company. Serene Technology, it's a technologically based company for mine-to-market traceability. So could you tell us a little bit more about how this collaboration began and where you guys see it going into the future?
Yeah. So we partnered officially last May of 2023. So we're about a year into the partnership. As you mentioned, Serene Technologies is a publicly traded company based out of Tel Aviv. And they've been known in the industry for creating technology that advances manufacturing. So if you walk into any factory in India that is manufacturing polished diamonds, that factory is going to be riddled with Serene equipment, whether it's their Galaxy system to map the internal inclusions on a rough diamond, to their advisor software that allows you to optimally plan that diamond and get the most out of it while still creating a beautiful diamond, all the way down to different machines that measure and scan polished diamonds. They are totally integrated into the supply chain. One of the things actually that interested us so much, and we've had conversations with them over the years, is that a number of years ago, they introduced AI-based color and clarity grading systems that can grade a diamond by machine. Now, obviously, diamond grading for forever has been with a trained gemologist, with master reference stones, with specific lighting, and very clear defined rules about this is what makes a VVS1, this is what makes a VVS2. But one of the challenges with that is that, you know, we always talk about diamond grading as an art and a science, that there's a little bit of both. But at the end of the day, there are human judgments made in that diamond grading process. Now, any good laboratory is going to use a blind consensus process so that nobody's results are influenced by others and that it goes through multiple graders so that you get a consensus opinion. Now, what's so exciting with the Serene technology is through tremendous amount of research and development. They developed instruments that you can now place a stone in, and out comes a color grade, a fluorescence grade, a polish grade, a clarity grade, a symmetry grade. And so now it's automating some of these combination of art and science processes. It's somewhat subjective and making them more objective, right? Which is the end goal.
Right.
Now for us, what was so exciting is that I think, as you know, we have had for the first 23 years of our existence, only one lab in New York City, where we have complete control of our process, complete control of the consistency. And for us, being New York only has always limited our market share in terms of how many stones we could certify. Over 90% of the diamonds are cut and polished in India, and the vast majority of the diamond grading reports issued by other labs happens in India. And so this year in January, we actually opened our second branch in Surat with obviously the partnership with Serene. But what gave us the confidence to do that was that now all of our grading is really a combination of AI and human expertise. And so it's allowing us to have that consistent, accurate, everything guaranteed grading, whether it's in New York or Surat. And one of the things that's happened, you could fact check me with other people in the industry, is that as other labs have expanded globally and opened locations, whether it's in India or Southern African countries or Hong Kong, the consistency and accuracy has diminished greatly. Now, some of that's by design to gain market share. And some of that is just that it's very difficult to control this and keep this consistent alignment. And so for us, we were never prepared to open a second branch of GCAL until we could ensure that we could guarantee that consistency and accuracy. And that's really the impetus for the partnership from our side with Serene, was we wanted access to this technology, this AI color and clarity grading. And so over the course of many, many months of discussions and negotiations, we determined that the best path forward for the two companies was a formal financial partnership where our interests were aligned. And so obviously the color and clarity was really the primary for us. But now we have the Serene Diamond Journey, the mine to market traceability, which we'll get into, but that's icing on the cake. And that is something that 2 years ago, when we started contemplating this partnership with Serene, obviously was critical. It was very important. But now in the face of Russian sanctions and what is happening in the market with traceability becoming even more important, and in many cases now legally required, that traceability becomes a massive asset for GCAL to leverage with its clients.
The partnership between GCAL and Serene Technology, I think it's a brilliant use case for how technology can help provide more trust and transparency to the end consumer. Because at the end of the day, this certification is that packaging of the entire diamond's journey to the consumer. And that's the beginning of their journey. And you guys are such an integral part of that supply chain. So I'm sure this new office opening in Surat in India is going to be really game-changing and open up a lot of more pathways for GCAL to get into hands of more dealers and ultimately the end user and consumer. I'm curious to know, with the AI-based grading, roughly, what percentage of it would you say is AI graded and what percentage of it is human graded?
Yeah. So I can tell you that the process that we follow that we've started going back over a year from now is that basically the AI becomes one of our graders. So it's now, we talked about a blind consensus process. So that's happening now where AI machines are one of GCAL's graders, and then it's going through actual human graders. So we're getting the best of both worlds, right? We're getting the combination of the AI systems and the human expertise. Now, over time, do I think that that becomes much more weighted to the AI systems and less humans? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. But today, every diamond is going through a combination. So I couldn't give you a percentage of what part is attributed to AI, but I can tell you that we wouldn't use the systems unless we had a very, very high correlation between the AI systems and our human graders. One of the things that Serene did many years before our partnership is they had a massive data collection, right? As you know, I mean, AI has become one of the biggest buzzwords over the last 18 months.
Yeah.
But Serene launched this 5 to 6 years ago. They were really ahead of the curve, and they understood the power of big data. They understood how they could leverage that to formulate these systems that would grade consistently with, let's say, recognized industry standards. So they've done a ton of data collection, talking about hundreds of thousands of diamonds that have been graded, right, and then put through the systems as it's teaching the systems, right? Just like you have with generative AI, that the systems have to be taught. Right. And that's one of the other really important things is for us in the partnership is that Serene and GCal both have the same vision of transparency, right, and consistency and accuracy. And so the steward and who's teaching the machines is also a very important thing.
Absolutely.
And so I think that Serene and GCal are very aligned in that we want the grades to be accurate and consistent, no better or worse than it should be on the stone. And so that's really a tenet of how the systems have been created. So it's, again, it's a combination of human gemological expertise,
yep,
and the consistency and accuracy of AI machines.
That's really exciting, especially the traceability. We've talked about this before. I'm excited about this mine to market traceability,
yeah,
for diamonds and telling the rich history of the diamond journey. Because when you're a retail buyer purchasing a diamond or a gemstone, the pathway is very unclear. And without really knowing everything it took to go into it, you can't really see the value between, let's say, a lab grown or a natural diamond. So I want to talk more about mine to market traceability, mm-hmm, and where you guys are in the supply chain. So briefly discussing, once there's rough diamonds imported, cut and polished in India, you guys come in, you guys grade these diamonds and distribute them to the wholesalers and the other dealers. Now, for mine to market traceability, where do you see you guys sitting?
Yeah, and just to take a step back, Serene actually sits further up the supply chain. So, you know, there's a combination. There are miners like, let's say, Lucara in Botswana,
yeah,
where Serene machines are at the mine site. They're actually being registered at the mine. There's other scenarios like with De Beers, and I'm not sure if you've seen recent press releases over the last year between Serene and Tracer. Tracer's the De Beers blockchain-based, you know, origin system.
Yeah.
And so Serene is either at the mine site or partnering with mining companies to get access to the precise origin data of the stones. And so the stones are actually being scanned on Serene systems as rough diamonds. And the most important part of that is that, as we talked about, because they have equipment throughout the whole manufacturing process from rough until polished, as that diamond is being manufactured, sawn, lasered, split up into halves, into different pieces, those stones are being scanned at every step of that manufacturing process and being matched back to that rough. So at every stage as that diamond is transformed, it's being scanned on another Serene system. And at that stage, it then checks, am I still the same stone as what came from this rough, right? And every stage, using complex algorithms, it's able to determine, am I the same stone? It's the only verifiable traceability system in the market that follows the transformation from rough to polished. Now, when that diamond is polished, of course, it can be submitted to the GCal lab,
right,
for the diamond grading certificate. But the major benefit now is that we have access to all of that manufacturing and that diamond journey data, which is now being incorporated into the GCal certificates. So you not only have the 4Cs, accurate guaranteed grading, but we now have this verifiable traceability all the way back to its origin. Even more interesting, I think, because the Serene systems are obviously a very visual systems where they're scanning the rough and scanning the pieces in 3D systems, we actually can incorporate the 3D model of the rough diamond, of the actual rough diamond, into our certificate, into our verification page. So you can actually see the rough diamond it came from. And even, I think, more interesting is that Serene has started a program a few years ago where they actually will print a replica of the rough. So you can actually have a 3D replica of your rough, the rough diamond that your polished came from, in your hand. You could have that with your diamond. And one of the interesting things they found in a different market, not in the US market, is that one of their large retailers actually presents them side by side. So you have the rough diamond, the rough replica along with the polished diamond that came from it. And they said consumers they find are now starting to pick the rough that they like almost more than the polished that they like because it's so unique and so interesting. And so the possibilities are incredible. Now, for the last number of years before we had the Russian invasion of Ukraine and all the sanctions, traceability was something that people opted for, right? It was an optional process. That now is becoming so much more critical today with all the sanctions. And so I think it's giving life to traceability, which I think will become a big consumer benefit as a result. So I think that the industry is forced to become much more invested in traceability, understanding the origins of the products they're selling because of the sanctions. But I think it creates a much better connection to consumers because, as you said, it starts to allow them to appreciate the journey and how really magical it is that, you know, rough diamonds are formed so deep in the earth millions of years ago, and what it looks like in its rough form and that beautiful polish that mesmerizes all of us. So I think it adds to the connection and the emotional charge of the purchase.
It's so much deeper, and there's so much behind the product that is really helping drive that story and that narrative. I'm curious to know more technically about the technology. So with the serene technologies on site at these mining sites, what is available on the certificate? I'm sure there's a country of origin. Are there timestamps available or geographical locations?
Now there's probably a million different pieces of data that are collected from these stones, from mine to polished, and then in the lab, right? And everybody chooses basically what information to present. But just as an example, when there's that rough scan, let's say at a mine site, you have the coordinates of where it's scanned, right? I mean, you know the latitude and longitude of where it was scanned, what time it was scanned. You have 3D model of it. You have measurements. You have weight. You have all kinds of information about it. And at every step along the way, you have that same information, right? And this is all part of being able to track that diamond as it goes through the manufacturing back to the previous step, making sure that everything matches up. The beauty of the Serene Diamond Journey is that everything is cloud-based and everything is uploaded in an automated fashion. So there's no manual entry of saying, oh yeah, I cut this 2 weeks ago, and then entering the data. It happens in line with the process. And so while it adds a little bit of added steps for the manufacturer, many of the manufacturers adding the Diamond Journey traceability to it is, you know, maybe a couple extra clicks, but not a vast deviation in process, which I think is the beauty of the process, right? Everybody talks about how do we have scalable, cost-effective systems, in this case for traceability. Well, this just flows with down through the manufacturing process. So it's not adding a tremendous amount of cost or additional labor to go that extra mile to get the traceability.
To the manufacturer or to the buyer of that stone.
Because I know there was critical.
A big concern about that with where is there going to be added cost with more traceability early upstream in the supply chain. Mm-hmm. Once it's cut and polished in India and then it's graded, where do you see potential challenges with increased sustainability and transparency with this? Where GCAL comes in on the supply chain process and how you guys are addressing some of these challenges?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a number of challenges, right? Number one, inherent in the diamond business is there's a lot of trading that goes on because, you know, you get a significant order and some retailer needs 300 ovals of a certain color and clarity with certain QC requirements. Oftentimes one manufacturer doesn't have that allotment, right? Isn't able to produce that from the rough, let's say they're allocated to by the mining companies they buy from. So you have a lot of trading. And so that's something that becomes much more difficult from a traceability standpoint. Now, in the Serene system, there is no problem with it because everything is traceable and verifiable. But it becomes a challenge, right? And having to know when you're trading in the market, having to know where those stones came from. So I think that creates a challenge, and that's just a reality of the diamond business. I think the other challenges you have more on the retail and the demand side. Being in the diamond market for as long as I have, you come to realize that, you know, a diamond manufacturer, a wholesaler, I'm going to get in trouble for this, will do just about anything to make a sale to a retailer, right? Their business is to sell diamonds. And along the way, if they can find differentiation and added value, they're going to do it. but oftentimes they're going to do the minimum required that the retailer is demanding. So our business is definitely retail driven. Retailers might say their business is consumer driven, but oftentimes what we find in our industry is that consumers don't know to ask for something unless you've presented it, right? So you think about cut grades today. Well, cut grades are ubiquitous on every grading report today that you get. But 20 years ago, cut grades basically didn't exist. Now that's a very big aspect of a consumer's purchase. What's the cut grade, right? I want to know how this diamond is going to perform. Yeah. And so you almost can't buy a diamond without a cut grade, let's say on a round diamond today. But 20 years ago, almost every diamond was sold without a cut grade. So when you add traceability, were people begging for a cut grade years ago? I don't know that they knew they needed to. There was different ways of assessing it, or people were looking at dimensions. They still wanted to know how it performed, but they didn't know to ask for a cut grade or ask for light performance analysis, right? These are new inventions that the industry has created to help better allow a consumer to make a purchase. So I think it's the same way with traceability. If nobody is offering that, if nobody is talking about the origin story, customer's not going to know to ask for it if it's not being offered. So I think the more people that begin to offer it, that's how demand is spurned in our industry. I mean, you think about some of the labs that have come and gone. Nobody was probably asking for some of these lab reports, but retailers viewed it as advantageous for them to use them. They introduced it to their customers. And retailers are the ones that really hold all the trust in the relationship. They're the customer-facing entity in the supply chain that's able to introduce different products and different services to the customer. So I think the biggest challenge is retailers, number one, making sure they have a supply chain that's able to deliver traceability to them. And I think once they have confidence that that becomes readily available in the market, then I think they will see it as advantageous and a point of differentiation to be able to offer that total origin story to their customer.
Definitely. And you were saying before, the retailers, the big part they play is being face-to-face with the consumer. And right now, or at least in the past, how I've seen it is the industry is so fragmented. It's getting better with the introduction of new technology and traceability systems. But with GCAL and this partnership with Serene, it's a good use case on how this is going to help repair some of the holes that are in the supply chain now and hopefully make it so that this pipeline of diamonds, if you think of a water pipe and that there's holes in it, right?
Yeah.
Now it's helping fill those gaps and fill those holes. And now it's going to be hopefully a very clean supply chain down to the end consumer and where it's just a clean water. Something that I wanted to point out was what happens after the point of sale with the customer? How can the consumer engage with this technology? Because you guys are doing so much heavy lifting on your end. Once that diamond is sold to the customer, what happens after that?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest differentiating points between GCAL and other labs and now with the Serene technology is that we've made our products very visual to the consumer. So whether it's on our certificate where you have images of the actual direct assessment light performance, the high quality 360 degree videos of the diamond. When we talk about Serene Diamond Journey, being able to interact and see a model, a 3D model of the actual rough your diamond came from, to see it in the planning stage where you see the rough model and inside you see the actual planned polish of how that diamond was planned, having a potential 3D replica of the rough that you could have alongside of your ring. I mean, there's so many touch points that go past it. Of course, there's additional after sale type of items like the gem print that we include in every GCAL certificate. Gem print is an optical fingerprint of the diamond. And we do that twice in the lab on every stone. When it comes in and right before it goes out, it creates an optical fingerprint. That gem print certificate, when registered with gem print, can offer you insurance discounts on your premium if it's gem print and registered, because the chance of recovery in cases of loss or theft increases if that diamond is registered with gem print. So there's a lot of different aspects of it. But I think that the GCAL and Serene certificates are very, very highly visual. And so there's a lot of things to be able to look at and appreciate in terms of the quality and the craftsmanship of the diamond that we really highlight as part of our certification process.
We'll be talking more this week as we capture some content in the GCAL office, which I'm super excited about. This last year, with the Russian sanctions and with political tension going on across the world, the diamond industry has faced a lot of challenges recently. I think that the overall public sentiment with diamonds declining, where do you see solutions in helping drive more of the demand for diamonds? How do you see the jewelry industry helping repair that diamond story?
I mean, complicated question. If I had a silver bullet, obviously everybody would be in a great position. Look, I think we have a very interesting and challenging next couple of years ahead of us, right? We talked about at the beginning, the emergence of lab-grown has really, for the first time, offered an alternative to the customer at the sales counter to a natural diamond. And so we're seeing just in the US last year, over 50% of the centers and of engagement rings were lab-grown diamonds. And so obviously that's pressuring the natural market. Of course, right. At GCAL and at Serene, we value both segments. We rely on both segments for our business. We think both segments have a very real place in the market, but there's no doubt that natural diamonds offer enriching opportunities to the communities where they're mined. I mean, you look no further than the success of Botswana, what it's done for the country in terms of the percentage of GDP, the universal healthcare, education. I mean, it is a great success story. And that comes from natural diamonds. I think that's a really important aspect as we think about what these specific segments support. As we go forward, I think that the most important thing is that consumers can trust the industry, right? I think trust, you've mentioned trust a number of times today. Trust equates to confidence, which equates to sales. Yeah. And so I think if we're giving consumers the right experience with trust and transparency and giving them all of the information they could possibly want about the products that they're spending their hard-earned money on something that at the end of the day, they don't really need, right? Nobody needs a beautiful diamond ring. Nobody needs a magical ruby necklace, right? Nobody needs any of it, but people want it. They desire it. And so I think the single biggest thing that we have to focus on as an industry is promoting that trust and that transparency, but through good actions, not through lip service, but through legitimate actions and continuing on a daily basis to earn the consumer's trust so that when they go spend $5,000 or $20,000 on that piece of jewelry, they know it's represented properly, that the treatments are disclosed, that the origin is correct, that the grades are accurate. I think that is the single most important thing.
Absolutely. And I think there's an incredible way. Technology is going to help be that back end powered by technology. It's going to help support all of these different relationships. So we talked a lot about the technology and helping shape how the operations of the jewelry industry is going to take place. What do you see on the horizon, maybe future opportunities for people further downstream with this traceability, right? Do you see, let's talk about the midstream market dealers and their wholesalers. What opportunities do you see for them selling to the retailers and then selling to ultimately the end consumer?
Look, I think when we talk about diamond and jewelry products, when we go to trade shows, when you present items to people, what are buyers looking for? They're looking for obviously something that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's implied.
Right.
But they're looking for something that is differentiated. What makes this necklace special? What makes this diamond special? And so I think when we think about the benefits of all this technology, it's about real differentiation, right? And offering your retailer and thereby that consumer a choice of more information, more transparency, more trust. And so I think that a wholesaler that embraces traceability and responsible business practices, right, have a different story to tell. If you were to line up, let's say 100 diamonds on the table, and they were all the same color, clarity, and cut quality. Mm-hmm. They're all going to look pretty similar, right? They're all going to look pretty similar. And you have 100 different wholesalers selling those diamonds to retailers. So what makes you choose one over the other? Could be price. That could be one, but could also be a story. You know, if these 99 are just 99 diamonds and this one, you can show that it came from Botswana, and you can show the rough diamond that it came from, and you can understand the beneficiation that that stone brought to that locality where the diamond was mined.
Yeah.
You can show the exceptional cut quality through, let's say, the GCAL 8X certificate.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden you've created something very different. You've created a story, but it's a story with actual meaning, with truth behind it, that everybody downstream can appreciate it, right? And can understand how exceptional that diamond is from its birth to its final craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is what is so exciting to us, is that we're able to deliver truth, trust, transparency, and real differentiation in the products that we're blessed to be able to certify and touch.
The 8X certification process of GCAL. This is something newer on the market.
Yep.
And something no one else offers. The diamond industry traditionally has been the 4Cs. Everyone knows the 4Cs. Now you guys have come up with this 8X, this deeper dive into the grading of a diamond. Can you tell us a little bit more about what this 8X involves?
Yeah. So we launched 8X about 3.5 years ago, and we started with Round Brilliant. Now 8X is a cut grade standard. It happens to be the tightest, most comprehensive, and metric-based performance system and performance measurement of a diamond. Mm-hmm. And what we set out to create, we've now, of course, we launched it with Round. We've now added standards for Oval, Princess, Pear, and Marquee, and we're working on other shapes. But the whole point of the 8X cut grade was, let's say you and I walk into a store and we're shopping for a diamond.
Right.
And we tell the retailer, we want the best color diamond. Okay, easy. They pull out the D colors. We want the best clarity diamond. Okay, they pull out a flawless or internally flawless diamond. But we walk in and we say, we want the best cut, not the best that you have, but we want the best cut diamond. Give me that equivalent of the DIF. What is it? Is there an unbiased standard? Of course, maybe a lot of brands have their own cut specifications. Some are transparent, some are not. But we wanted to create something where if some consumer valued cut the most, which I think is the most important of the Cs, there needs to be a reliable, unbiased assessment of that cut quality. And that's what the 8X is. So when we think about a round 8X, for example, the crown angle can only be between 34 and 35 degrees. The pavilion angle can only be between 40.6 and 41. It has to have exceptional, perfect hearts and arrows. The table, the depth, the crown, pavilion, lower girdle, star facets, all have these very, very tight tolerances. And what it creates is an amazing, amazing diamond with the perfect combination of brilliance, fire, and scintillation, complemented with this exceptional craftsmanship. Now, not every manufacturer can cut it.
Right.
Nobody cuts an 8X by accident. It's a very, very difficult system. And one of the criticisms we got when we launched it by the industry was, this is too hard, right? It's too hard to achieve. And our response was, that's exactly the point. Right? If you are going to anoint something as the best, the ultimate cut grade, then it has to be hard to achieve. It has to be exceptional.
Right.
And that's really what we set out to do. And with fancy shapes, while they're also very challenged, they're very rewarding because you have challenges with whether it's a bow tie and an oval, the shape outline of a marquee. Also, you have bow tie issues in marquee and pear shapes, princess cuts having chipped corners, not straight sides. So you have all of these different, I call them pain points in these fancy shapes that we're solving for in the 8X. And so we're taking away those pain points and creating something that a consumer can feel like, hey, if I want the absolute best in cut, no caveats, no qualifications, I can buy an 8X and know that this is top of the line, exceptional craftsmanship. And that was really the point. Now, if we had made it easier, would we have more stones and a bigger market for it? Absolutely. Right. But that was not the intent. The intent is to be exclusive and only the very finest manufacturers be able to achieve it. And we're very fortunate. We've got dozens of manufacturers that have stepped up to the challenge and are consistently cutting incredibly cut 8X certified diamonds.
And it's really top of the line. Now, for most of the goods that come into GCAL, are 8X?
No. It's not a high percentage that comes through the lab. And that's for a variety of reasons, right? Obviously, an 8X is more expensive to manufacture. The certification process is more exhaustive, more comprehensive. It costs more. And so it ends up, you're selling it for more. So there's only a certain amount of market and certain styles that it works in. They could be investment. They could just be for people who really value cut the most. But the vast majority of the stones that come through our lab go through our standard premium certificate where we are measuring light performance. We're taking photomicrographs of the diamond. We're doing 360 video on a lot of them. So even our step down, let's say cert from 8X, is very, very comprehensive, more comprehensive than any other certificate in the market. Yeah. But I would say 8X is still a small percentage of what comes through, only because of the challenge of how difficult it is to cut.
Yeah. Well, Angelo, Responsible Luxury, starting this podcast, especially in this first season, was to bring in the industry, the entire diamond jewelry industry, and talk about the responsible practices as the jewelry yeah. business does, and shine light on the stories and the family histories and all the beauty of different players playing into this. And I think GCAL, you guys are really becoming market leaders in diamond and gemstone grading and the certification labs. And I'm excited for the future with this new partnership, this new Absolutely. Office opening in Surat. So you guys have a lot going on, but really, again, just driving home the point of the core pillars of what you guys have built the company on, which is the trust, the transparency, the accountability, and taking ownership and really leading by example and not being afraid to take on innovation and being different. That's a big reason why I wanted to bring you on the show yeah. today. So I wanted to talk about the future, maybe 10 years down the line. And also, we can open this up to the broader luxury industry too. What do you see happening with the luxury market space? Do you see any new trends or new technologies coming into place? What do you see coming onto the market?
I mean, I think from a jewelry industry standpoint, I think there's a lot of risks and threats ahead, right? We've already yeah. seen it with the advancement of technology and personal technology, watches, phones, iPads, tablets, all these different things that we're finding consumers are placing a large value on.
Yeah.
Obviously, during the COVID pandemic that went through, we started to see that as we came out of that, consumers were really valuing experience, right? And living certain moments. And so the jewelry industry is competing with all these things for disposable income, right? As we talked about, nobody needs a piece of jewelry. Now, trying to get engaged in this country without a piece of jewelry, good luck with that. But after that, right? After you've bought that engagement ring, right? Are people coming back to buy that pair of diamond studs, that bracelet, that cuff, yeah. something that your partner maybe desires? And so I think that's the biggest challenge that the jewelry industry has, is continuing to have this love affair with the consumer, right? Of making people understand the value and the desire of jewelry. So I think that's a big challenge. And I think it's only going to get more and more difficult, right? As electronics and technology comes through. But we've seen the jewelry industry go through many different changes and many different economic cycles and periods. And jewelry is a part of, at least in the West, throughout the globe, it's a part of life, right? Yeah. And so I think that's something that we have to all focus on as an industry to keep it healthy. I think the technology with AR and VR is becoming massive. And obviously during COVID, there was a lot of talk of the augmented reality and people with NFTs and all these different things. And people were opening up storefronts and in imagination land. But I think that technology, jewelry industry is usually slow to adopt these types of things. But you already see at the retail counter a lot of really interesting things. You see it online where you take a picture of a piece of your body to be able to see how that jewelry is going to look. So I think the more and more technology that we embrace, I think it's a requirement for survival. Right, I think that if the consumer is able to interact with all these other industries in an advanced technological posture, the jewelry industry has to keep up. And so I think that's a critical aspect for all of us to understand, is that we have to embrace that innovation
yeah.
and embrace ways to connect with the consumer much more. So I think that's a big focus.
Like you said, there's a lot of challenges ahead of the way, but that just means there's a lot of opportunity as well. Right under those
There's
risks
no
and those challenges. So one question I say for the end is, Angelo, in all of your experience in the industry, if you could tell the story of the diamond industry, maybe if we were producing like a movie trailer, or if there was maybe a big billboard in the middle of Times Square or playing on television, if everyone in the world was able to see it, what's something that you would want to depict about our industry for all to see? What would you want it to say? And what would you want it to convey?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm answering your question exactly the way you framed it. But one of the things that I always think of, and it comes into my head from time to time, is I'm sure you've seen a rough diamond or a rough gemstone, right? Yeah. And they are, while they're unique, they look nothing like the product that we all think of when we think about a diamond or a ruby or a gemstone.
Absolutely.
And I have this thought in my head all the time of who was the first person that saw a rough diamond and thought and that dreamt what it could actually be, right? In this polished form that we all know. And I think about the innovation, the ingenuity, and that transformation, right? From that rough diamond to the polish we see. And I was just in India several months ago, around the time our lab opened, and got a chance to spend some time in some factories. I mean, these are some of the most state-of-the-art, unbelievable creations of human.
Yeah.
And I think what we all take for granted probably every day is the exceptional craftsmanship and technology and ingenuity that goes into creating what we take for granted. You have a beautiful diamond ring that's a handcrafted mounting and this beautiful polished diamond. And you think about if you could see all the steps it took to get from the rough raw material to that final ring, I think people would have an appreciation far beyond what they do. And so if I had to create a billboard, it might be an unremarkable rough diamond with that magical polished next to it, right? And just demonstrating really the ingenuity of this industry, but of mankind, of being able to be visionary about how to transform this into that. Yeah. And I think it's remarkable when you, and that's part of the traceability story, right? Of understanding that transformation from that rough to that polished and appreciating the journey of that diamond to your hand. I think it gives you an additional appreciation for what has actually gone into it.
And very synonymously with that is people. Humans are always transforming and are always going along this journey. So it's very symbolic. The diamond is also very symbolic of a person too. I think that's a beautiful story to tell. Well, I wanted to ask Angelo, are there any last words or remarks that you wanted to leave off before we head out today?
Well, number one, I want to thank you for having me today, of course. And thank you for undertaking this. I know that it's quite a big undertaking to launch a podcast and to be in the amount of episodes you've already done. So I think communication and having different perspectives is a great thing. So I think I applaud you for this effort. I know it's not an easy thing. Look, I think the main points that we talked about today with the trust and the transparency, I think what I would leave is I hope as an industry that we embrace it, that we compete honestly and fairly. I think competition is a great thing, but I think far too often this industry takes the easy path and uses games and gimmicks to try to compete. And I think that we now all have the tools and technology to truly tell the products that we're selling, truly tell that story.
Yeah.
And I hope that people invest the time and the resources and money into telling that story because it's a great thing. And the more people that are telling it, even if we have competitors that are doing the same thing that GCal and Serene are doing, but doing it the right way, it's a beautiful thing because it then increases the conversation and it makes it much more kind of ubiquitous throughout the industry. And I think that's a
working
great
towards
thing.
That same vision in a way.
That's right. Yeah. So I think that's my main focus is increasing the transparency and the trust in the industry.
Well, I commend you guys and look forward to working more with you guys in the future. And
absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all of your insights and expertise with us. I know that the audience is going to gain a lot of good tidbits and new insights. For those who want to reach out to you afterwards and connect, where are the best platforms? I'll include your LinkedIn in the show notes below. Where else is the best way for the audience to connect?
Yeah, I mean, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram, YouTube. We have a blog that keeps up with all the different educational webinars that we're doing. Of course, you can call GCal anytime. 212-869-8985. I'm here all day, every day, and for good or for bad, available to anyone who needs to reach me. So I welcome anybody that has questions and love to connect with more people.
Amazing. Angela, well, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. We'll be seeing you in the office tomorrow.
We will.
Looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you so much for listening to the Responsible Luxury Podcast. If you haven't already, please rate and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you have any questions you want answered or ideas to share, please reach out to us at Responsible Luxury Pod or connect with me directly. And don't forget to follow at Responsible Luxury Pod for the latest updates. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.